Professor James Fetzer, who is standing by to wade into this cesspool of horror that we call the American government now. It's not getting any better. I do have a translation, by the way, of the very rare Kim Jong-un personal reply to President Donald Trump's idiotic, imbecilic, shameful speech at the UN. And Kim is not stupid. A lot of people don't know that. He doesn't speak directly to the media. He's not quoted often because he just doesn't release his own one first-person responses. They're just not there. This one is very interesting reading, and I'm trying to get it enlarged so you all can read it easier. It's kind of small font, but he was very well educated. He's not stupid, and Americans are being told the opposite all the time. So, wrong. Jim, welcome back.
Oh, thanks, Jeff. Yeah. And of course, we haven't been told that North Korea made the offer to freeze their program to stop developing new weapons if we would cease our warlike behavior on their borders with all these military drills and so forth, which a Trump administration immediately rejected, just as had the Obama administration before it. So, Jeff, I mean, we're the ones who are aggravating this situation, not Kim.
Oh, absolutely. No question. Zero question about that. Now, the foreign minister of North Korea has announced that they are considering testing an H-bomb out in international waters in the Pacific Ocean. This, of course, if it's a real threat, and I don't know that it is at this point, it may just be one of those trial balloons. Let's see what the U.S. loons have to say about it. It will, I think, probably end up with an ultimatum from Trump, and that'll probably push him over the edge and his neocon buddies. Never mind that we've tested dozens of hydrogen bombs in the South Pacific and done incalculable environmental damage to the planet, which we are still paying for. So, anyhow.
Not to mention, Jeff, that Fukushima has contaminated most of the Pacific already. So
that's right.
You know.
That's right. That's right.
I mean, this is like a triple whammy.
Yeah. Well, we'll have to wait and see what happens, as they say in showbiz. We don't have an answer yet, but it's getting to be really, really loony out there. Kim is not backing down one iota, and that suggests to me the obvious, that the Chinese don't want him to. And I found out the other day, I ran across some research, North Korea does approximately 85% of all of its import and export business with, not South Korea, China. So the Chinese could shut him down in one day if they wanted to. 85% of exports and imports with China. So there's your control.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty strange that Trump is demanding that all countries cease trade with North Korea, that you can either trade with North Korea or you can trade with us, but not both. I mean, that's like George W.'s declaration, you're either with us or you're with a terrorist. I mean, that's a bit extraordinary and far beyond the right of the United States to impose on other nations.
Well, that hasn't stopped us before, has it?
No.
Yeah.
You make the nice point. But I had an excellent guest tonight, Jeff. You might want to consider featuring him. His name is Greg Felton. He published a book called The Host and the Parasite about how, you know, the Israel's fifth column has taken control of the country. I mean, it's really insightful. He published originally in 2007, then he had an edition in 2010. Now it's just come out in paperback 2017. And the point he made when we were talking about Trump and how, you know, I opened in utter dismay about how embarrassing it had been to have this man, President of the United States, standing before the United Nations and making all these declarations, which include clear violations of the UN Charter. I mean, you know, threatening to annihilate a nation, that's genocide, that's barred.
He did. I can't pass this up. He did everything but take his shoe off and pound it on the rostrum like Khrushchev did.
You're right. You're absolutely right. And of course, according to the Charter, there are only two circumstances under which one nation can attack another. That's if they face an imminent threat,
right,
or if they have the approval of the Security Council, which of course would never be granted here. I don't see any imminent threat. I see a lot of exaggerated rhetoric and, you know, the talk of a virtual madman. I was suggesting that at this point in time, I no longer believe Trump has either the intelligence or the character or the integrity or the knowledge or the competence.
The wisdom or the vision or anything.
Right, to serve as president of the United States. And that I would support an impeachment. And Greg Felton came back saying, I needed to consider the alternative that if Mike Pence were to step up, he thinks Pence would be immeasurably worse than Trump.
Well, he'd certainly be a willing player, whereas Trump perhaps had to be dragged into it. I don't know. Yeah, what are our choices here? Well, should we have voted for Hillary? No. Pence, just sitting in the background, very quiet, too quietly now, just waiting and biding his time. Rat Ryan and Kasich and all the rest of the operators, McConnell, and just think about these people. They're plotters and schemers. Look, the big story of the week, though, is at the top of Rents right now. That's General Kelly and his physical reaction to Trump's speech. That tells the story.
Yes, he was in anguish.
Had to be.
He was in anguish, Jeff.
Had to be. Now, what does that tell us? That Trump scripted the speech himself or had some people he knows do it and did not run it by his chief of staff? What does that tell us?
Yes, that Kelly didn't know what was coming. He was appalled by what he was hearing.
Had to be. Here's a little bit. Let me just read a little bit of Kim Jong-un.
I'm eager to hear it.
It's very tiny speech, so forgive me if I kick it a few words here and there, but I'm going to use my magnifying glass. The speech made by the president of the U.S. in his maiden address on the United Nations arena in the prevailing serious circumstances in which the situation on the Korean Peninsula has been rendered tense as never before and is inching closer to a touch-and-go state is arousing worldwide concern. Shaping the general idea of what he would say, I expected he would make stereotyped, prepared remarks a little different from what he used to utter in his office on the spur of the moment as he had to speak on the world's biggest official diplomatic stage. This time. That was my this time. But far from making remarks of any persuasive power that can be viewed to be helpful or to diffuse tension, he made unprecedented rude nonsense one has never heard from any of his predecessors. A frightened dog barks louder. I'd like to advise Trump to exercise prudence in selecting words and to be considerate of whom he speaks to when making a speech in front of the world. The mentally deranged behavior of the U.S. president openly expressing on the U.N. arena the unethical will to totally destroy a sovereign state beyond the boundary of threats of regime change or overturn of social system makes even those with normal thinking faculties lose discretion and composure. His remarks remind me of such words as, quote, political layman, end quote, and political heretic, quote, end quote, which were in vogue in reference to Trump during his presidential election campaign. After taking office, Trump has rendered the world restless through threats and blackmail against all countries in the world. He is unfit to hold the prerogative of supreme command of a country, and he is surely a rogue and a gangster fond of playing with fire rather than a politician. His remarks, which describe the U.S. option through straightforward expression of his will, have convinced me, rather than frightening or stopping me, that the path I chose is correct and that it is the one I have to follow to the last. Now that Trump, almost finished here, has denied the existence of and insulted me and my country in front of the eyes of the world and made the most ferocious declaration of a war in history that he would destroy the DPRK, we will consider with seriousness exercising of a corresponding highest level of hardline countermeasures in history. Action is the best option in treating the dotard who is hard of hearing, is uttering only what he wants to say. As a man representing the DPRK and on behalf of the dignity and honor of my state and my people and on my own, I will make the man holding the prerogative of the supreme command in the U.S. pay dearly for his speech calling for totally destroying the DPRK. This is not a rhetorical expression loved by Trump. I am now thinking hard about what response he could have expected when he allowed such eccentric words to trip off of his tongue. Whatever Trump might have expected, he will face results beyond his expectation. I will surely and definitely tame the mentally deranged U.S. dotard with fire.
Jeff, that's fascinating.
It's that very so instructive.
Much, that
very
is so
instructive.
Much more intelligent, perceptive, nuanced, subtle, thoughtful. I mean, I'm very impressed. I really, when you began to read, had no idea what to expect, but I'm very impressed. And in a favorable fashion, I had not anticipated.
Oh, the media here, the Zionist media, makes him out nonstop to be a raving, childlike lunatic. He is anything but, and I've been telling people that for a long time, and I hope that is instructional to all of you out there. This is a man of intelligence who loves his country, cares about his people, and remembers full well that this country, our country, slaughtered one-third of his nation's population in the Korean War, and they don't want it to ever happen again.
Yes, and with total justification.
Huh.
Literally, the United States leveled North Korea. I mean, we destroyed every target, every building, every city, every town, every structure, every infrastructure. We did it all. We leveled the nation. And, you know, the idea that Trump is talking about, to the North Koreans, they know what it would mean to undergo national annihilation. They've been there.
Yep.
And Trump's words, it just had to be searing.
It obviously hurt a lot of people there in terms of their emotions, their morality, their feeling of their right to exist as a sovereign nation on the face of the earth. Yes, very, very ill-advised, very stupid, very arrogant, a dumbass speech is what it was. And I think John Kelly showed that clearly with his face in hand.
If you compare what the two of them have said, you have to conclude that the leader of the Democratic Republic of North Korea is more intelligent, more competent, more perceptive, more ethical, more driven, more principled than the president of the United States.
You won't get an argument out of me. That's why I wanted to read it. I haven't seen it. Yeah.
That's dumbfounding.
Now remember that was translated into English by a translator, so but we still did get the nuances and we still got the gist of it, and it's very intelligently written and obviously written by Kim, I would suggest.
I would suggest too. I agree with that.
Fascinating.
That's a real find there, Jeff.
I'm trying to enlarge it so I can put it up, but certainly all of you heard it and you make up your own minds, but I think it's hard to dismiss something that that well spoken, and clearly from a position of having been deeply offended and wounded by the threats of the arguably the leader of the free world, so called.
Fascinating. Unexpected.
Now you watch what they'll do. Since the foreign minister said we're thinking now of perhaps testing a hydrogen bomb in the ocean, they're good. Watch, just watch tomorrow. Watch the threats. Watch the gravity of the verbiage that comes out of the White House and probably the Pentagon too. We'll see what Kelly does or does not do. I mean, that man was just beside himself. And I'm not a big Kelly fan. No way. Not even Megyn Kelly. But he
Is going to lose her job and wants to return to Fox, it appears.
Oh, really?
She's had a disastrous time.
Well, she's now, the last I saw, she was trying to force Matt Lauer out, to get him fired, to take over his spot on the Today Show.
Not going to happen. So far as I can tell. I mean,
I could care less, but...
I know. I
couldn't care
way.
Less, I mean, is the proper way to say it.
I liked her on Fox. I mean, she lent a certain pizzazz. She's glamorous and all that. And
That was her apogee. That was her height. That's
right.
Where she...
And she was in harness. You know, they had her very tightly controlled.
Right.
And what she did, she did well. It wasn't spectacular, but it was interesting. And it filled a time slot, and it was a reasonably good variation of what else they had on Fox, including, of course, at the time, Hannity and O'Reilly, who, of course, now is gone by the boards.
Right.
With another of these sexual harassment cases. Tucker's in there, and he's very, very good, though I think he's not as strong on conspiracies as he is on other issues, but he seems to me to be... very non-ideological. He tends to drive to the heart of the matter. I'd be interested in what he would say about the contrast between Kim's speech and Trump's. I mean, this is another embarrassment, Jeff. Embarrassment.
Right. Well, you won't find these words plastered all over the mainstream media here. You'll find a snip here. I'm seeing a sentence here, a phrase there. That's all they're going to give him. See, they don't want the whole thing put out there.
You can always take things out of context and, you know.
That's what they do. That's their game. Yeah, I think you're right about Megyn Kelly. She's got her brand was her, and it worked at Fox. But I don't think it works at the networks.
I don't think it does either. There are rumors of trying to lure Rachel Maddow for that, bring her in appearance once a week, then twice a week, and so forth, and give her a role. And it would probably be much more money. But she is just, a part of the CIA light that is in MSNBC, Jeff. I mean, I see more of that than I care to because my wife is still addicted. And we had the horrifying experience that Chris Matthews was interviewing this Jake Gyllenhaal, who's going to play Jeff Bauman in this new movie coming out about Boston.
Yeah.
And he's so gullible. Jeff, there were three different crisis actors that played Jeff Bauman. Jeff Bauman, in fact, was a guy named Nick Voigt. He was an army officer, lost his legs in Afghanistan. He also lost the little digit on his left hand. So when he played the first Jeff Bauman, this is the one lying in the group, that you have smoke and you have no blood. And there's this guy in a hoodie who's attaching a false bone extension to make it look more horrifying. If this had been legit, obviously there would have been blood all over the place. No blood. These were amputee actors. And what they did was leave him lying there for maybe 5 minutes or more. If it had been real, he'd already have been dead because you're unconscious if it had been real in 1 minute, dead in two. They put him in a wheelchair, which is a completely improper thing to do because then the gravity helps to draw the blood out of the body. And when they're moving him in the wheelchair, Jeff, the vibrations cause this bone prosthesis, this fake extension to come loose. They have to stop and reattach it. And then 17 days later, they have a second Jeff Bauman. Now, the original, Nick Voigt, had his legs cut off below the knee, and he's missing the digit, so he's only got 9 fingers. Now, 17 days later, a Boston Bruins game, you got a guy looking very happy. His legs are missing above the knee. He's waving a Bruins flag, and he's got all 10 digits. I had an interview.
Oh, my. I hadn't heard that. That's really...
There's more to come. I had a conversation with Dr. Stan. He was an orthopedic surgeon, Stan Monteith, now departed.
Yeah.
And he was telling me how puzzled he was about this, and I explained what was going on, and he put two and two together. He explained he had performed amputations like this, and it takes 3 months to recover from the loss of your legs initially, another 3 months to gain capacity to get around without your legs. And yet here was this guy 17 days later, missing his legs now above the knee, as I said. Now he's got all 10 digits, looking cheerful, happy, weighing in Boston. I mean, he just look as you know, fat and happy as you could imagine. Gary King, with whom I produced a video about this, discovered there was a third Jeff Bauman at a baseball game later. He was wheeled out. He had no legs at all, Jeff. No legs.
This is really, have you put this together in a paper and with pictures?
Yeah, it's in a video. It's called Boston Strong, the three Jeff Baumans.
I need that video.
Yeah, you can get it. Right? Just search on the title, Boston Strong, the three Jeff Baumans. It's right there.
Okay.
This is so shameless. And here was Chris Matthews. And I swear, Jeff, he still thinks Lee Harvey Oswald shot JFK. He still thinks 19 Islamic terrorists attacked the United States on 9/11. He still thinks Adam Lanza shot up a bunch of kids at Sandy Hook. The guy's a complete moron. He's a complete moron. And they put people like this on television to act as though they're informed and intelligent and able to help us to find our way through the political thicket. It's a disgrace.
Yeah. Well, it's all about money, too, and ego, and he's a celebrity. You know, I remember seeing a picture of that, the Bauman hockey game picture, how happy. And I said, geez, that was just a few days ago, basically. And here he is looking that happy.
I know.
And after that much blood was lost, he should have bled out several times, right?
That's right. Okay, I just put in the title, Jeff, Boston Strong, the three Jeff Baumans, and there it is right off the bat.
Okay.
Boston Strong, the three Jeffrey
Thanks.
Baumans.
I'm going to put that up.
Yeah,
that,
you yeah. too. Yeah. Put it up.
Wow.
I mean, it's just embarrassing. And Hollywood's right there pitching, Jeff. They know better. They know the whole thing was a fraud.
I'm sure they do. Hold on a second. We'll be right back with Jim Fetzer as we continue. Jim Fetzer, so many things going on. It's really crazy. In the meantime, tragically, Europe continues to be ground under the hoof of Islam. And I will tell you right now, if you look at the homepage at Rents, look at the Muslim section at the top of the page, look at the picture. If you are still able to support that cult, I don't know who you are or what you are. Look what they do to their little children, their little girls. Look what they do to their little girls. Look at the agony on that little girl's face. Look at her stupid, dim-witted, subhuman mother holding her arm down and smiling at her with this, "Oh, it'll be okay, darling. Don't worry." She's just been mutilated. FGM. If you can look at that picture and not feel in your heart or your mind or somewhere the pain and anguish, that picture, I'll never forget that picture. Ever. And that is Islam. That's who these people are. Do you want that over here? What about the Detroit doctor, the female Muslim doctor, now out on $4.5 million unsecured bond? She'll probably skip the country. She has literally mutilated, apparently, several thousand little girls in the Muslim community in Detroit. This is not a religion. These people do not belong here. They belong back in the Middle East or from wherever the hell they came. It's got to stop. Every single one that is brought over here is one more soldier of grief, the army of grief that is being installed and embedded amongst us. And Trump has allowed over 50,000 since he has taken office. All right, enough. Go ahead. Thank you for the article. Yeah.
Did you get the email I just sent?
Yeah. Thank you.
Because this is very interesting for a different take on DonaldDuke.com, DavidDuke.com.
Yeah.
That Trump speaks Zio to UN, but what really counts is what he didn't say, by Dr. Patrick Slattery. He says, predictably, President Trump's speech to the United Nations contained plenty of belligerent and foolish statements that will get the headlines in the Zio media. The threats against North Korea and Venezuela will get a lot of attention. But what is really more significant is that there was only the most vague and indirect criticism of Russia and also in China, in stark contrast to the 2015 and 2016 UN addresses by President Obama.
Mm-hmm.
The only statement Trump made that was the least bit critical of Russia or China was, quote, we must reject threats to sovereignty from the Ukraine to the South China Sea. By contrast, in 2015, Obama said, consider Russia's annexation of Crimea and further aggression in eastern Ukraine. We cannot stand by when the sovereignty and territorial integrity of a nation is flagrantly violated. If that happens without consequence in Ukraine, it could happen to any nation gathered here today. That's the basis of the sanctions that the United States and our partners impose on Russia. And of course, you begin to see how bad Obama was when you stop and think about some of the actions he took. I mean,
yeah.
You know, Russia didn't annex Crimea. They had a vote in accordance with international law that they wanted to join Russia, which was their legal right. And Obama was a massive warmonger.
Of course.
Trump, I think this is a very interesting point, Jeff, that he's not accommodating all the Zionist desires that he should be trashing Russia in particular.
Well, at least in that one speech, all right? I think the speech was designed to bring full bearing, all weight to bear on North Korea and its weapons program. We'll see. But again, I point out the simple fact that China could shut this down tomorrow. So the idea of sanctions and threatening China that they have to apply the sanctions to their fullest is ridiculous, because when you have 85% of a country's import-export trade in your hands, you can do whatever you want with them. The Chinese clearly are not going to sit on the hands of North Korea. They're not going to do it.
Yeah, one of the callers raised a very good question, because I've actually made this argument in the past. If Trump is actually in the pocket of Israel, then why are, for example, the New York Times and other, you know, CNN and other Zionist-controlled outlets continuing to attack him? And Greg Felton had the very interesting observation, number one, of course, Hillary was supposed to win. Number two, that Hillary would be predictably and reliably Zionist. Number three, that Trump is not predictably and reliably Zionist, that sometimes he goes off on a tangent, that when he talks about America first, that Zionists don't like it. They want nothing but unqualified fealty to Israel, and therefore they have troubles with Trump. I thought that was very subtle and interesting.
Well, it is interesting. However, I would suggest that maybe Trump doesn't have to be expressing fealty and subservience to the Zionist state, because 7 of his 12 cabinet members are Jewish.
Yeah.
They're dual citizens. So, I mean, it's kind of game over.
I think one of them resigned, but I could be mistaken. Yeah, I remember in the beginning, yes, we added it up, and there were seven of them.
Yeah,
or 12. Yeah.
Whatever. But, yeah, there were seven key players. And then you got little Jerry Kushner with a 16-inch chest. I mean, it's, you got a Mossad agent right there in the White House, who comes and goes as he pleases. Kelly doesn't stop Kushner. Ivanka is in there. Both of them are in there. And you, some of you have asked about, well, what about nepotism? Well, Trump is getting around the nepotism angle by not paying them. They're, quote, volunteers with top security clearance. Anyway, it's all wrong. It's just wrong. But yeah, it was an interesting observation, but I wouldn't read too much into it, frankly.
I was so, taken aback when Trump was giving his speech and there was Bibi Netanyahu just beaming.
Oh, he was absolutely beaming. Sure.
Beaming.
There's my boy up there. Yep.
Talking about it as a bold and courageous statement when it was virtually hysterical, borderline insane.
Yeah, well, Iran is next. If nothing happens in North Korea, all guns will turn and point to Tehran. You watch.
Jeff, get this. The anti-New York Times published a piece that for me was a missing part of the puzzle, which is this. That Korea is upset with Israel is upset with North Korea because the North Koreans in the past have provided technical assistance to Syria, Iran, and Egypt.
Right.
And in 2007, they actually bombed an alleged Syrian nuclear reactor and killed 10 Korean, technical experts. And that it seems to me that ties together why right now the three states that are being targeted are North Korea, Syria, and Iran. And the situation with Iran is just completely dumbfounding. I mean, does Trump really not know that Iran abandoned its nuclear weapons program in 2003 because Saddam Hussein had been taken out, that they'd only been developing it as a defensive measure in case he actually did have nuclear weapons of his own?
I don't know what he does or doesn't know. All we can do is speculate. We just can't do any more than that. We just watch, and it's kind of like watching musical chairs through a glass window. It's all we can do.
Well, it is all rather appalling, I got to say. I mean, I've never seen the government in such disarray, but so much of it has to do with Hillary. Her dissatisfaction. She's even alleged, assuming she's still alive, because, I think we're seeing Hillary doubles, Jeff. You know so well. Having a chapter about it in the book,
right.
From Orlando to Dallas and beyond, that Hillary has been relying on doubles. In fact, some of the stories I'm running, there's a picture of Hillary at the top and a picture of Hillary at the bottom, and they're not the same person. It's just stunning to me. I'm not even convinced that the woman that Rachel Maddow interviewed the other day actually is Hillary Clinton, and I'm trying to zoom in on that and see if we can prove that, in fact, it was yet another double.
I don't know. Doubles are certainly politically common throughout history. It's nothing new. You look all the time on our left, her upper lip. Look for the mole near the corner of her mouth on her upper lip. It's a little clear white mole. Now, that can be added. Don't get me wrong. I know that. But that's the one thing I look at. And I count the number of wrinkles, too. Not meticulously, but I try and count a few.
Well, she's in horror. If it's real, she's in horrible shape. I mean, really.
Well, what happened to the woman who collapsed like a side of beef at the curb and was dragged in like dead meat into the back of that van?
I know.
And an hour and a half later comes bounding out, or not her, Meg Ryan.
Well, that was, of course, the Meg Ryan double. Yeah. But we had three reports that she was dead that night, Jeff.
Uh-huh.
Three reports, ABC in New York, ABC in Washington, and a local New York station.
Well, the one that we think now is the real Hillary might be a double that who took over at that particular time.
But it was not, of course, the rather tall, slender, very attractive Meg Ryan version who is pleasant. And
that was really silly.
And then, of course, 2 days later, we had the Meryl Streep version, who was on the plane to Charlottesville with a more slanted forehead, the wrong nose, and didn't have the moles you're talking about above and below the corner of her right mouth.
Right. That was. I'll never forget that. I looked at that clip. The first time I looked at that clip, I said, something wrong. Something's wrong.
Yes.
Who is that woman?
So, but, Jeff, even during the debates, that wasn't Hillary. They had a double with Bernie Sanders and with Donald Trump. I mean, it's just shocking. And then, there was a story in the New York Times entitled Hillary's in the House about her having attended four different plays on Broadway, and I looked at the photographs. None of them was Hillary Clinton. I wrote to the reporter and said, you know, that's an interesting story, but none of those was Hillary Clinton. I didn't hear a peep back.
Nah.
And, you know, and they're not going to expose anything like that. I mean, it's just, you know, unbelievable.
Yeah. Yeah.
The fact that she's surrounded with Secret Service is an obvious tell. If she doesn't have her medical handler, this big black guy who's typically flashing a light so she can take the next step, it's not Hillary. It, not even Chelsea came down to see her off that day after her collapse. So, you know.
Interesting. You mentioned Secret Service. A story that didn't make much news at all. I'm not. Maybe you didn't even see it. I caught it somewhere. Kellyanne Conway and Donald Trump Jr. have no longer Secret Service protection.
I wonder why not.
Don't know. Don't know if it was taken away from them. Certainly no one would care about the budget aspect of it. What the hell do they care?
Well, there was a story. There was a story about how expensive the Secret it was the Secret Service budget because of, you know, Mar-a-Lago and all that, and so many members of the family. So, but yeah, I mean, that's a kind of complaint.
Well, those are key players. The son, I don't understand why Trump wouldn't scream and yell that his son have Secret Service protection.
So, crying out loud, he could pay for it himself if he wanted.
Easy. So, okay, well, there's that too. So, when I look at these pictures of General Kelly, I can't tell you how much they speak. There's just no other way to look at them than the guy is beside himself. He's beyond perplexed, mind blown. He just is sickened by what he's hearing.
Yeah, I think it's great you put that photograph on right on the front page. That was a good move.
There's two of them.
Yeah. Well, I saw the one of the girl in anguish with her mother.
Yeah. Well, you look at the top. There are two pictures of Kelly at the top. One with his hands under his chin, clasped together like he's praying, which he's not. And the other one is a single hand covering his face. It flicks back and forth every 3-4 seconds.
Oh, yeah, yeah, I see him now. I see them both. Yeah. Yes, 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 yes.
Somebody tried to tell me he was praying. I said, no, no.
You might want to put up that Boston Strong, the three Jeff Baumans, Jeff, because, I mean, I'm telling you. This is so embarrassing. It blows the whole scam away. And there's Hollywood right in there pitching. This is like when they made Zero Dark 30 about the raid on the compound, which was the second death of Osama bin Laden, who died 10 years earlier in Afghanistan. I mean, Hollywood is right in there.
Sure,
participating in all this deceit and deception of the American people.
Yeah. Can the video, the three Jeff Baumans, is about, it's 50-some minutes long. Because this movie is, I guess it's already shot and done and going to be released soon. Can you take that video and have somebody edit the slam bang knockout pictures, the video evidence, into like a 6 or 7 minute video?
Sure.
Because we have short attention spans out there, and I would like to see people just hit with this boom, 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 and oh my God, what?
Consider it done.
Yeah, that'll get you. And link over
to
link to the full length video too, because it's all spelled up. But a short version would be, I think, serve everyone.
Jeff, I'll get it to you.
Great.
Easy.
Yeah.
Piece of cake.
Okay, we have about 5 minutes left. What else is on your desk that we need to talk about? Anything?
Well, I had this very curious event that when someone sent me, they'd been listening to Mike Rivero, and he turned out to have a caller who was criticizing my work on 9/11, raising questions about the use of mini nukes, about holograms, and Rivero just took it and ran with it. He started talking about how I was supposed to be a part of the kookification of 9/11 research. I mean, here's the note he sent. Jim, at the 46.45 mark, Rivero had a caller laughing at your theory about the nukes and holograms on 9/11. Rivero then agreed and goes into absolute trash you by calling you a kook, basically insinuating you're a government agent set to poison the well. This comes from the guy who insisted the false flag Nice truck attack was just another case of simple road rage. I think either Rivera's getting senile or maybe there's something more to this guy. The thing about Nice, Jeff, is they actually had mannequins in the street. This was a truck in the wrong area of Nice. Supposed to have hit 84 people. There's not a speck of blood on the truck.
I saw those pictures. They were very puzzling.
Yeah. Well, what I did then is to prep a blog, you know, find it. Michael Rivera blows his cover as a 9/11 gatekeeper. I'd go very thoroughly through what Rivera had. You can listen to the extract there. And I just take it apart piece by piece by piece. Mm-hmm. And what it shows, Jeff, it took me 5 hours to write this blog to explain what was wrong with what Rivera was saying in about 1 minute, his part of the 2 minute clip.
Uh-huh.
It's easy to lie, and it can be complicated to explain why what somebody is saying is a lie. But frankly, it exposes him as a 9/11 gatekeeper. There's no way around it. I've had several others write me about him since I put this up, that he's had pilots call in and start to talk about the fact that no plane hit at the Pentagon. He cuts them off in mid-sentence, that anyone who wants to raise issues like that, he won't listen to them at all. And here I've only three comments right now on this article, which just went up today on my blog. But one fellow writes here, Dr. Fetzer, I've been listening to your various shows for 2 years now, and I found all your documented research on each of your undertakings to be serious and trustworthy. I have also been listening to M. Rivera over the past year, and I have quit. I can absolutely no longer tolerate his believing he alone is omniscient, which only God can be. So that should tell anyone plenty. He appears to be a crypto Jew, but he doesn't want anyone to know it or realize it. However, he has said that one, possibly both of his parents was a Jew and his ex-wife was. The point I would make here is his arguments are just embarrassingly bad, but he plays off of the ignorance of the public. He even brings in the moon landing, Jeff. And, you know, he does that because most people think the moon landing was real. The fallacy is known as the appeal to popular sentiments. If most people think something is true, then you can act as though
it is, and attack
somebody who denies it, even though they're in the right. I put up one of the latest, you know, of NASA's concessions, namely from the Telegraph, help NASA solve its space poop problem and win $30,000. Turns out right now NASA can only handle space poop human excrement in a space capsule for 14 hours, Jeff. Well, these missions to the moon and back.
I read that. Is that, I didn't see the 14 hours, though. Wow.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
These missions are taking like 7 or 8 days, you know. Uh-huh. So what did they do with all the space poop?
It's
the whole moon landing thing was nothing but a massive pile of space poop.
Wow. Well, how interesting. 14 hours. Yeah. And you'd think, well, wait a minute now. Come on. They could have some kind of an exit port, a toilet flush port. They could blow things out in space. I don't think they want to do that. Space is full of enough junk as it is. And that would be an additional mess out there.
So I dispatched that too. So if anyone out there is interested in learning about why hologrammes were necessary, and James Perloff, by the way, coincidentally interviewed a pilot who explained why it would have been much better to use holograms. He was endorsing the hologram theory. Uh-huh. I explained why the evidence we have for mini nukes, the pilot was also endorsing mini nukes. Those buildings were so solid. Even Donald Trump on 9/11 explained, and he was the first prominent personality to make this complaint, mm-hmm. that the same builders who had designed the Twin Towers were now working for him, that it would have been impossible for a Boeing to have penetrated the buildings, that it would also have been impossible for jet fuel to have brought them down, that there had to be other factors involved of which we're presently unaware. And he was, of course, completely right. It was these micro or mini nukes. But the fact is, if you have any questions in your mind about it, I lay it all here. I give you tons of references,
right.
Several videos where you can see the evidence for yourself. So this is just to let the audience know, Jeff, that here's my latest discussion about 9/11 on the touchy issues, the one where they can deceive you. And he's gone out of his way, Rivera has, to deny that a plane hit the Pentagon. Well, listen, Jeff, it's so bad the official trajectory of the plane, coming in at over 500 miles an hour, barely skimming the ground and taking out a series of lampposts, is not even aerodynamically possible.
No, it's impossible.
Right. I had an aeronautical engineer give me a blog about it, that plane at that speed, because of what's known as downdraft or ground effect, could not have got closer than 60 or even 80 feet to the ground, which is higher than the Pentagon at 71 feet is tall. There's no pile of debris at the inside. There's no debris on the grass.
Right.
We don't
right.
have the collapse for 45 minutes. Even after the collapse, there's still no debris on the grass. It start coming down later, and get this. The most striking piece of debris, which actually came from a Boeing 757, shows no signs of having been involved in a violent collision or exposure to fire, and has entwined in it a piece of vine not indigenous to the Arlington, Virginia area, has been tracked down back to a crash in Cali, Colombia in 1995, where the debris was bought up by an Israeli firm, Jeff.
Another Israeli angle. Well, why am I not surprised? This is too much. You know, there is that plume of white on that one single frame of the object hurling toward the Pentagon, and it suggests a missile was launched by a drone, which followed the missile on into the hole.
It appears to have been a Global Hawk, exactly right, that was firing a missile. Pilots and aeronautical engineers have explained the white plume would not be consistent with a black jet exhaust, but would be consistent with
It's rocket fuel.
That's right, being fired into the building.
Yeah, yeah. Well, there we go. All right, look for Jim Fetzer in Columnists on the left-hand side at Rents, and you'll see right at the top his reply to Mike Rivero and all the evidence in 5 hours of writing, and what a thorough reply is that. Almost as good as Kim's reply to President Trump. My goodness.
I have newfound respect for the head of North Korea, I'll tell you that.
Well, I'm putting it on a large page. I'll send you the link to it. I'll send you the text. I've had to blow it up so people could read it. They've kept it purposely very small, but I'm taking care of that. So we'll let everyone read it. Thank you. Thank you, Jim.
My pleasure, my friend.
All right. Take care. Okay. Professor James Fetzer, PhD, Emeritus. And we'll be right back with hour number 3 after this.